Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayh. Wa na'udzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lahu. Wa nashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu. ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وسيق الذين اتقوا إلى الجنة زمرا حتى إذا جاءوها وفتحت أبوابها وقال لهم خزنتها سلام عليكم طبتم فادخلوها خالدين صدق الله العظيم سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم Honorable and respected elders and brothers and our young ones, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has sent us in this world, and our life in actual fact is a journey. That journey does not come to an end with our mouth and our death, but the continuation thereafter is forever. Allah says, Kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut, every soul shall taste of death. فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازَ. That person who has been saved from the fire of Jahannam and has been given entry into Jannat, such a person has been successful. In a hadith, or rather a part of a hadith of our Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لِلْجَنَّةِ أَبْوَابَ. Jannat has many doors, 8 doors of Jannat. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions some of the names of the doors of Jannat and the kind of people that will enter through these doors. One Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Li ahli salah, for the people of salah, du'ya min abwabis salah. They will be called from the door of Salah. Now when we speak about the people of Salat, the people of what we will call Namaz, then it means that they are those people that fulfilled all the fara'is. They fulfill all the farz ibadat. Farz as far as Salat, the wajibat. Farz as far as the fasting, the zakat. If Hajj was compulsory, they fulfilled the compulsion of Hajj. And then over and above all the fara'is, all the wajibat, all the sunnate mu'akkada, they had an affinity and a love for their salat. Like when we look at one sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyiduna Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Now this sahabi physically was not a very strong person. So people used to marvel at him that every month the nafal roza he used to keep 3 fast. In his nafal he used to keep 3 fast every month. But then they asked him, why do you not fast more than that 3? So he replied to them that because I get weak and I feel weakness, and that weakness keeps me away from my night salat, which I love in abundance. So every night he would get up and he would perform an abundance of nafal salat. So he had that intense love for salat. So that is what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is referring to, that min ahli salah, for the people of salah, then they will be called from this door of salah. Sayyiduna Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, at the time of mid-morning, what you and I will call the chas salat, salatul duha, At that time alone, he would read 100 rakats of salat. So there were those sahaba, like Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that would fast days after days, and he would stand up in ibadat the entire night. And sometimes he would read the entire Quran in one night. So they had this profound love for salah. They had this profound love for fasting for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is one door that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept for the ahlus salah. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam goes on to explain, wali ahli al-jihad, for the people that emerge and go out in jihad fi sabilillah, du'iya min babil jihad, they will be called from this one door that is designated for them, the babul jihad, that this door will be open for them, and the malaika will call out, and they were all the sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam that would go out and emerge in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam spoke about min ahli sadaqah, for the people of sadaqah, the people that gave an abundance of charity. And friends, it is amazing, when we look at the sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, their attitude towards charities compared to us. We have this, if we have, we will give, which is an attitude that is good. Let us look at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. On the one hand, he is in his home. A young boy comes to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and that young boy says to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, my mother has requested that you give your upper garment, your kurta, that you give to her. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam looks at this young boy apologetically, and he says, oh young man, I just have this one. If I part with this, I will not have anything to cover my upper body. The young boy accepts Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam's excuse. He goes and he comes back after a while, and he says, ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I'm helpless, my mother demands it. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam takes it off, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam gives it. The time of salah approaches, Bilal radiallahu ta'ala who calls out the adhan, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam does not leave his room. Bilal comes in and he sees Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam sitting without the upper garment, and he says, Bilal, how do I emerge in this condition? Now such was the state and the condition of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Then there was that one sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The call is made that there is a collection that is made for those that are emerging in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has absolutely nothing to his name. He goes and he seeks an employment, and he gets a job for the night. And in that night, he earns for the entire night 2 sa, that is approximately 6.6 or 6.7 kilograms of dates, the entire night's work. The next day he comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. As he approaches, the sahabi Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu approaches from the other side. Sayyidina Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu is saying, ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I have 4,000 dirhams, 4,000 silver coins, 2,000 I have left for me and my family, 2,000 I present to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. On this side, this sahabi says to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I have just 2 sa, 6.7 kilograms, 1 sa, ya Rasulullah, I keep for my family, and 1 sa, I give in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for them, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, that for the ahlus sadaqah, the people who love to give sadaqah, for them, there will be this door, du'iya min ahli sadaqah, they will be called from the door of sadaqah. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam says that for the people of Siyam, for the people who love fasting, and again, this is all about nafl, over and above the fard, that they fulfill the fard salat, the fard zakat, the hajj, and everything else. And now, over and above this, they do for the sake of Allah, they fast for the sake of Allah, tabaraka wa ta'ala. And they will be called from this Babur Rayyan. Now one sahabi amongst the sahaba that was sitting and listening to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam explain all of this is Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And he sits and he absorbs all of this. And he asks Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam a question. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, is there a necessity for one person to enter or to be called through various doors? We enter the masjid, we will enter through one door. A one person cannot enter through two doors. So what's the necessity and why is it necessary for one person, or would it be possible that one person is going to be called from different doors? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, yes, O Abu Bakr, I have hope that you will be amongst those that will be called from the different doors of Jannat. Now when we look at this sahabi, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, we cannot help but admire a personality like him. That when we look through the pages of hadith, just about him alone, sahih hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam has expressed in 188 ahadith the virtues of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And then together with Sayyidina Umar, with Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Umar and Uthman, Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman and Ali, and then Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali and the other sahaba, 316 ahadith has been narrated on the virtue of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Now why has these virtues being narrated about Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu? Because of the personality of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. I do not wish to go into the details about Sayyidina Abu Bakr, but there is one important factor that we find in his life that probably we can bring into our lives, and that is an ayat of the Quran, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. The message that Allah Ta'ala relates is, number one, we need to strive. And Allah Ta'ala is saying, fina lanahdiyannahum subulana, strive in our paths, we will open the doors of our paths. In other words, there are very many ways that a person can reach Allah Ta'ala. There are very many ways a person can reach Jannah. There are very many ways a person can reach salvation in the hereafter. That is over and above our fara'id. Like when we just look at Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that on one occasion Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is seated with the sahaba, and then he asked the sahaba, man asbaha al-yawma sa'iman, today who has gotten up in a state of fasting? Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, ana. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked, who performed a janazah salah today? Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, myself, ana. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked the third question, who is that person that fed a hungry person, a miskin? Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu replied, me. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked, today who visited a sick person? Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu replied, me. So when we look at this personality in one single day, we will find that he had carried out numerous different deeds for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we look at this particular hadith, the fasting was for the sake of Allah. That was between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when we look at the janazah, it was the right of another Muslim. When we look at the feeding, it was the right of another human being. When we look at visiting the sick, It was the right of someone else. And this is the important aspect of the life of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that besides fulfilling the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he was cognizant of the rights of others. In his biography, there are two incidents that amaze a person. One is Rabi'a ibn Ka'ab. Now Rabi'a ibn Ka'ab radiallahu ta'ala anhu was a young sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that was so attached to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that it comes in his biography that he would be with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at all times. And Rabi'a ibn Ka'ab radiallahu ta'ala anhu would make sure that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the time of tahajjud would have his water for wudu. It wasn't as simple as opening the tap in those days. He would have to go to the well, fill the water and bring it for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would go into his room, Sayyidina Rabi'a radiallahu ta'ala anhu would lie across the doorway of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would step out, he would have to touch the body of Rabi'a. As a matter of fact, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so pleased with Rabi'a that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once said to him, Rabi'a, what are your desires? Are there any aspirations that you have that I can make dua for you? Sayyiduna Rabi'a ibn Ka'b radiallahu ta'ala anhu said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, I have the aspiration that I have your company in Jannah. In this world, Allah has given me your company. In the hereafter also, Allah ta'ala grant me your company. Now, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recognizes this is a young sahabi. He ought to have other desires in this world. He asked, Awa ghayra dhalik, is there anything else? Rabi'a radiallahu ta'ala anhu replies, No, Ya Rasulullah, that is it. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Then an abundance of sujood. In other words, an abundance of nafil salat. But nonetheless, Sayyidina Rabi'a radiallahu ta'ala anhu once, and Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu have a disagreement on a matter. And now it is Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu that spoke a harsh word to Hazrat Rabi'a radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Having spoken that harsh word, immediately Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu realizes, I ought to have asked him for forgiveness. And on realization, he says to Rabi'a, Rabi'a, repeat those words to me. Now Sayyidina Rabi'a, we understand the makeup of this personality. He knew who is he dealing with. And he refuses to mention those words to Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu insisted, Hazrat Rabi'a refuses. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu comes to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rabi'a's tribe is saying to Rabi'a, Oh Rabi'a, you ought to repeat these words. He says, you people do not know this person. He comes to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and as he comes, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu is discussing this matter with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Rabi'a, it's a good thing that you did not repeat these words to Abu Bakr. Now the important aspect is, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu had understood an error on his part and he wanted it forgiven in this world. And that is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu that the 8 doors of Jannah on the day of Qiyamah will be calling out your name, enter from whichever door you wish. So when we look at the Shariat, when we look at the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we will find that there are many ways in which a person can acquire Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn Qayyim rahmatullah alayhi says, from amongst the most surprising things about a believer is this, that man is prepared to bear the torment of breaking his link with Allah Ta'ala, and he is prepared to bear the punishment of that. In other words, when one breaks his link with Allah Ta'ala, then he gets involved in this material world. And not to have a relationship with Allah Ta'ala is an adab on its own, because then one does not link himself to Akhirat. And one never aspires to gain the hereafter. One never aspires for Jannat. And Allah Ta'ala sent us in this world so that we can acquire Jannat. Allah Ta'ala sent us in this world so that we can gain that success in the hereafter. When you look at the hadiths of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there are about 25 ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that show us guarantees of entrance into Jannat. Just one or two very simple deeds. But the important aspect is that we have to have the aspiration. We need to have the desire. We need to make the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala our maqsad, our objective. And number two is, we need to have the aspiration of acquiring Jannat. Secondly, is we need to ask for Jannat. Thirdly, we need to act, practice upon those deeds that will grant us entry into Jannat. And then we need to abstain from those deeds that will take us away from Jannat. Now in the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, that person that makes dua for Jannat, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-jannah, 3 times. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-jannah. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-jannah. We can say it in any language. Oh Allah, I ask you for Jannah. Then Jannah itself, Allah Ta'ala gives Jannah the ability to hear the dua, and Allah Ta'ala gives Jannah the ability to plead to Allah. Jannah pleads to Allah, oh Allah, grant this person entrance into me. So the one aspect is to ask, to complete that hadith. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, and that person who seeks Allah's refuge from the fire of Jahannam 3 times, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika minan nar, O Allahumma ajirni minan nar, 3 times, then Allah Ta'ala grants Jahannam the ability to hear the dua, and Allah Ta'ala grants Jahannam the ability to beseech Allah Ta'ala, oh Allah, save this person from me. Now it is a simple practice, but it is something that comes after we aspire for it, and then we ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another very simple deed, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated, when the muadzin calls out the adhan, and he says, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Simple, we listen to the words of the adhan, and simply we respond by saying, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. When the muazzin says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, we simply listen and we say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Nothing difficult, nothing difficult. When the muazzin is saying, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, we simply listen and we respond and we say, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. When the muazzin is saying, Hayal as-salah, we simply say, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And like that, Hayal al-falah, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And when the muazzin says, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, we simply say, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. This is the point where most of us start. But this is coming to the end now. And then when the muazzin says, La ilaha illallah, we say, La ilaha illallah. It's not difficult, and especially at the time of Maghrib, because the Fard starts so soon after the Adhan. If we come a few minutes before the Adhan in the Masjid,
We sit down, we listen to the adhan, we respond in this way. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is saying, دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. That person has entered Jannah. That person has entered Jannah. Now when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is giving that guarantee, then it is for us to practice, it is simple. And then going forward, in another hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, after the adhan has been called out, a person sends salawat, what you and I would term as durood, upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he reads the dua, Allahumma rabba hadhi da'wati tamma till the end. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, my shafa'at, my intercession has become wajib upon that person. There's two things we require. On the day of judgment, we require the intercession of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the other is we require Jannah. Then we find in the hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam saying, that person that says, Raditu billahi rabba, wa bil islami deena, wa bi Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wasallam rasula. Simple. Raditu billahi rabba. I am pleased that Allah is my Rabb. Wabil Islami Deena, and Islam is my Deen. And Wabi Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rasula, and Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is my Rasul. That person that says this in one hadith three times a day, one hadith once a day. Dakhal al Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant that person Jannat. Then we find a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in which Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam describes a person that will come on the day of Qiyamah in the presence of Allah ta'ala. That person will have minor sins and major sins. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to him that, do you not remember that you had committed such and such a sin, and Allah will begin to mention the minor sins of such an individual, and that person will carry on admitting to Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will continue to enlist the minor sins. Then Allah ta'ala will say to this person, go, I have concealed your sins, go, I have forgiven you. Now this person will hesitate, and he will ask Allah ta'ala, but oh Allah, I also have major sins. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, like how I concealed your faults in the dunya, I conceal your faults in the hereafter now, and I will grant you Jannat. So you go, I have forgiven you. Now in the hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, that person who is able to control his anger upon people who he has the ability to exercise his anger. That person who is able to control his anger, Nabi SAW is not saying that who does not become angry. The person is able to control his anger upon people whom he has the ability to exercise, in other words, his subordinates. On the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will conceal his faults, Allah ta'ala will conceal his sins, and Allah will grant him Jannat. And in another hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, that person that conceals the faults of others, Allah ta'ala will conceal his faults. So brothers and friends, when we look at all these ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we will find that the simple prescriptions are there. It is for us to have the aspirations, the desire to have the success in the hereafter. Simple little things make very great differences in our lives. The intention should be that we want to acquire Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure. We want to acquire Jannat, the maghfirat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us begin to practice on the simple deeds of what Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had shown us. And inshallah, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will put barakah. The most important aspect is we do it with ikhlas and sincerity, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept from us. May Allah ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant relief to the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wherever the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is suffering.
وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.